It's not real leather.
Why, what am I, fucking cheap?
It's all area.
Excuse me?
It's all there.
No, it's not all there. I've skimmed a couple of grand off the top.
What?
Of course it's fucking all there. This is the payoff, yeah? We pay you off, you and your pals keep your fucking noses out of our business. That's the dynamic of this situation. Why the fuck would I then cheat you out of your money? Eh? Why would I do that? That doesn't make any sense. That'd defeat the entire purpose of the entire fucking interaction. Fuck me.
So hi and welcome to the Indie Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
And Damien, explain this to me. It's not Saturday night. Why am I talking to you?
Saturday night I had to drive to Moby. Actually drove 3/4 of the way despite not having a license. drove to Moby to collect my sister from the airport. Because she didn't want to take a connecting flight this time.
Does she not know that how geography works?
Right.
Is that Kingston has is closer to Bull Bay than Montego Yes. Bay? Just because they have both have bay in the name does not mean that they are close to
I understand
each other.
That.
You, did you explain this to her?
I tried to. Then she hit me in the face. Which kind of my fault. But if you leave Kingston to get to Atlanta, you have to come off of the plane at some point and then go on to another plane. But if you go from Moby, Delta will fly your ass straight to Atlanta. So she decided.
Yeah, but I still don't understand, right? So she doesn't know how to get onto a plane that takes
She does not like to get onto a plane. She does not like to do that.
So why did she leave the island then?
No. Once she's on a plane, she just wants to go straight and then come off the plane and then go about her business. She doesn't like the whole layover thing. I don't know. Look, it's what she wanted.
She realized that what she wants is impossible for most flights, yeah?
Yes. That's why. That's why she doesn't go a lot of places. She narrows it down to to direct flights. If it's outside of a direct flight zone, she's not going.
So essentially, the only places she can go are Florida.
Yep.
Atlanta.
And
maybe what, like... not Trinidad.
Nope. Apparently not.
Perhaps...
The worst country in the world.
Perhaps St. Lucia or Barbados.
Right.
Come on, Damien.
I think there's a straight flight to England.
No,
cross that one off the list.
I think you have to go through New York.
Yeah, I think you
at
have
least.
To do some fancy footwork now.
Fun times. And then on Sunday we had like our family get together. So I was going to leave that to talk to you guys about movies. So we're doing it today. You're welcome.
Regardless of how wrong you are in how you treated us, because I'm hurt, I'd just like to say happy belated birthday.
Look, let me explain it to you guys once again. Douglas is 30, so Douglas got to celebrate his birthday.
He's not 30 yet.
Douglas' life is over. He's 30. So you get birthdays 1 through 21, And then
you're a Patton Oswalt.
Every 10, exactly. Every 10, all right. And then when you reach 80, you can celebrate every single day if you want to, because you're 80. Right? Oh, I turned 33. No one gives a shit. When you turn 40, then yes, I will come to your 40th birthday. If you say I'm 29, guess who is not coming? Damien is not coming. So I don't care. You get milestone birthdays and nothing else. So, yeah. You know what I did for my birthday? I went home.
Did you buy speakers?
No. I went home.
Did you buy headphones?
I went to sleep. I woke up at about 6 o'clock. I ate dinner. Played Gran Turismo and then went back to sleep.
At 6 o'clock in the morning?
In the night.
In the night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was home in the morning. Slept. Woke up, ate dinner. Played Gran Turismo. And then went back to sleep. Mm-hmm. And that's typical of every birthday. That's how it works.
But Gran Turismo is such a bad game.
Yes, it is. So bad. So very bad. Awful, some would say. And those some are going straight to hell.
But regardless, let's get this podcast back on track.
Nope. Oh.
So, Damien, what have you been watching this week?
All right, so I'm going to talk about two movies. The rest can talk about later. Yeah, essentially. Some of them are good. Like, I got the Dancer in the Dark Blu-ray. It's all in Japanese. It's pretty good. Two movies that Andrew had spoken about previously. The first one is Ang Lee's Life of Pi.
Yes, no. that came back out in theaters for us. Did you go? Or
yes, I went. And,
it was 3D still?
No. Okay. I have issues with some of Ang Lee's previous work. But I'd like to apologize now to Ang Lee, because he's finally over the 50% ratio. Ice Storm and this and, like, I'm not the biggest fan of Brokeback Mountain, but I understand. And while Crouching Tiger is terrible, it is still,
we love it.
It's so much fun. And most of the grief that I gave him was for the Hulk. Like, the Hulk was real bad.
I'm told Last Caution is...
It's also terrible.
Infinitely.
Like... I think that might be his worst movie. Andrew can wave his fingers as much as he wants, but that doesn't change facts. Life of Pi, when Andrew was describing it, he did a terrible job, as do most people when they're talking about this movie, because the movie kind of openly discusses religion, and so a lot of people, when talking about the movie, kind of tiptoes around the whole religious aspects of the movie, because they don't want people to go in and whatever. The movie is terrific. Like, it is probably his best movie. Now, Douglas...
About a tiger in a boat?
Right. Now, Douglas, a movie about a tiger in a boat. You see that feeling that you have? That is what they end the movie with. They actually speak directly to that. Right? At the end of the movie, because the movie is about some guy has come to tell Pi's life story. He's going to write a book about him.
Oh, wait, sorry. Pi is the name of this character.
Right, and Pi.
Just 22 over 7.
Right, and they also made jokes about that. It's really good. How they get... Because his name isn't actually Pi. It's just a shortening of his longer name. And he convinces everyone to only call him Pi. And the first 15 minutes of the movie is just dealing with that. And it's pretty spectacular. First of all, the movie is absolutely gorgeous.
Well, yeah, like, I could imagine that. That was one thing that the trailer did.
Right. There's parts in this movie that rival anything that has ever been on screen. It's so beautiful. It is... amazing. Like, amazing. So at the start of the movie there, you know, get into why it's called Pi and whatever. And then in the middle, like for the next 30 minutes, they discuss Pi's relationship with religion. And then a boat sinks and he's left on this boat with a tiger. And that is the story that he's telling, how he was stranded in the middle of the ocean on this boat with this tiger. And when he tells that story takes up the rest of the movie, essentially. And then there's 5 minutes, and then the movie ends. When the movie gets to its ending point, after he's finished telling the story, because of course he survives, he's telling the story. A question is asked, and that question is then answered. But then it's left open enough for everybody's interpretation, but there's nothing to interpret. The movie does that for you. It's not a situation where you can... there's any doubt to what actually happened. And as far as movies goes, if you sit down and you nitpick and look for flaws, I'm sure you'll find them.
You'll find them in any movie.
But you're the worst person on earth for doing that. The movie is flawless, Douglas Robinson. It is. I mean, you have to hand it to Ang Lee. He doesn't make the same movies. Each of his movies is completely different from the last one he's made. And this one, he gets it. This one is absolutely fantastic. It was kind of shocking.
Would you go so far as to call Ang Lee the Chinese Soderbergh?
Sure. I'll call him the Chinese Soderbergh. Do you feel better now? Let us diminish the man's work by calling him the Chinese Soderbergh. Fine. Now, Douglas, you were the most skeptical when you saw the trailer, because we know Ang Lee, we know what he's capable of, and the movie seemed a tad pretentious. And all the write-ups on this movie blow that out. It seems more than just a little bit pretentious. It seems kind of ridiculous. But the movie is... I really want to say this, because at the end of the movie, there's things that happen. But the movie is kind of remarkably grounded for a movie that deals with... Douglas Robinson... If you watch this movie and you don't like this movie, I will give you $4,000. I will pay for every movie that we go to for the rest of the year. I will pay for you to go to the movies with me. If you come back and say you did not like this movie, it is impossible.
Okay, it
is. There is no way. There is no way. Especially if you, Douglas, your love of French cinema alone. Even if you try to hear this movie, it is.
Can I take that bet?
No, because you've already lost that bet. I remember in the trailer there's a scene where the whale jumps. And I remember when it got to that scene, I went, there's no way this movie is this good. There's no way the movie that I'm watching now is the movie that I've been hearing about. It is just the connection. I'm like, there's so many ways this movie could have gone wrong, and it just didn't. And I just don't expect that from Ang Lee. I expected him to wade into the deep end of nonsense, and he didn't. And I really, really enjoyed this movie. That being said, I watched a movie that I enjoyed even more than this one this week. Another movie that Andrew talked about, not technically a movie, it's a documentary. The name of the movie is Searching for Sugar Man. Now, the guy gave us Man on Wire, and Man on Wire was like my top documentary on Taylor Strepo, which I thought was better than, in terms of content, not in terms of style. And then after Strepo was Tabloid. Tabloid was fantastic. So that was my next favorite. Searching for Sugar Man is amazing. First of all, the story that they tell is kind of... It feels unbelievable. And what the director does so well is that he keeps you in the dark for most of the movie. You find out the information as the people find out the information. But all of the information is there at the start because the movie was done last year. So they had all the information and they knew everything that there is to know about the story. Where these guys, this musician, Gonzalez, he was kind of the... He essentially wrote the albums that fueled South Africans to overthrow apartheid. But everyone thought he was dead. No one knew anything about him. And so the documentary is, you know, trying to find out who this guy was, because no one in South Africa has any information about this guy. And then the movie carries you through the motions of what happens. And by the end of the movie, first of all, his music is superb. The music alone is well worth it.
Yeah.
And yeah. By the end of the movie, I was kind of in awe of this.
I don't think I found much. And I know this is big generalization, mm-hmm. but I don't think I found much music from that continent mm-hmm. that I didn't like.
He's not from South Africa.
Yeah, but I'm sure it had...
He has nothing to do with South Africa.
No, but I'm saying, he has nothing.
Nothing at all to do. So, he's an American artist.
Oh, really?
He's.
But did he live down there? Anything
at no point.
No. Oh, so it's just like.
Yeah. The story goes, someone brought a bootleg copy because his album sold less than zero copies in America and UK. No one knows about this guy.
So essentially, what you're saying is this mm-hmm. guy is a David Hasselhoff.
No. Because David Hasselhoff is a known entity. David Hasselhoff only became... His music only took off when people laughed at the fact that the guy from Baywatch and Knight Rider...
a genuine star in Europe.
Right. This guy was not... He's not a star. His music is ultra... Like, he's more famous than Elvis over there. But no one had ever seen... Someone brought a bootleg tape and they just kept bootlegging the tapes and then... The record labels got on board and started bringing in the albums, but they don't know. No one knows anything about this guy over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guys are like, no, we need to find out who this guy was. I mean, all they have is the LPs and this shitty picture of him. And I was like, that is him. And so they started making up stories.
At the end of the movie, they find him smoking his cigars on his plantation, whipping his sleeves.
If only. It would have been a better movie. Except for the slaves part, because he's Mexican. So,
Damien, didn't mm-hmm. you see Django?
Slaves can't own slaves, and everybody is. Let's be
serious. Mexicans aren't slaves. Come on.
Exactly.
They just swim well.
They do. You think they'd be better at Olympics? But they aren't.
Okay, let's start being horrible. Yeah, and we probably should.
The movie takes you on a journey, and this movie is in a select company of three movies that have brought me to tears. I went, there is no... There's a point, Douglas, that I had to stop the movie. About an hour, I had to stop the movie and walk away and go do something else because I'm a man and I refuse to cry at movies. You know what, Sugar Man? I will not be manipulated by this documentary. I'm going to find something else to do and then come back and finish this because I don't want
to. So you're pulling a Mr. T.
Yeah, is that right? Is it the same thing in the trailer where the tear is coming out? That is essentially what I did.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I said, not today. Can't be sitting alone in my room crying at movies. I said, it's a bad precedent. And so, now, the director, like, we knew he was good. We saw Man on Wire. We knew what he's capable of. And to take a story like this, and kind of transform this set of facts into... I mean, the story is good enough on its own. No, like, yes, he did a lot of work, but it's not like he had to do a lot of work. If he just laid out the facts, it would have been impressive. But you can see how much effort he put in, and you can kind of feel him manipulating you while the story is being told. But you don't blame him for it. You go, all right, I'm on board now, and I see what you're doing. And you're playing the music at this time, and you're bringing up these pictures, and you're getting these people to talk, and you know what you're aiming for. But I'm still going along with it because you're doing such a fantastic job. And I mean, the Oscars were the other Sunday, whatever it was. And when I heard that it won, I went, all right. At least they got one thing. Because I didn't know anything else that happened tonight. I mean, they got something right. Because that...
Well, they gave your favorite movie Best Picture.
Come on.
No. I remember when you came out there, out of that movie, you were like, Douglas.
Yeah.
This is the best movie
To be fair, at that point, it was the best movie that...
20 minutes later.
To be fair, we watched that after...
Lupo. Right.
How dare you after Lupo say that?
I can't, like, when I came out of the movie, I went, I thought it was going to win, and it did win. Like, yeah, he did a good job making that movie. And, I mean, if you think about how they picked the Oscars, it's essentially a process of elimination. You just get all the people to decide on one movie, like a large body of people, and they go, all right, what movie can we pick where we won't have to, you know, use knife fights and things? What is the safe movie?
I like when they say, okay, who have we not given to that we should have and has done something this year? Right.
Right. I mean...
I like when they do that.
Like, we give the Oscars a lot of shit. But if you look at all the movies and you take it from the view of... This is a movie that a group of people could... say, all right, fine, let us give it this movie. It works every year except for Crash. Crash is the only one there. I cannot believe a group of people went, this is the movie that we can all agree on. This is, doesn't make any sense. But all the other ones, you go, yes, it might not. And I'm sure most of the people who are picking this didn't have that as their best movie. But as a group,
listen. Moon did not make it to Best Picture. How dare they?
That's it. Whatever. Even, alright, last year, this year when we picked the group top 10, did you see what that list was? When you compare it to your personal list, it is way, way different. Right? The only thing that we said, you know what, alright, Lupo wins because it was high up on everybody else's list. And then we had others down the line, but it doesn't... our group top 10 does not look like any of our individual top 10s. And so it goes with the Oscars. Unless they're really having knife fights or betting. I just don't see how else they'd come up with these movies.
Have you watched House of Cards, by the way?
No. Okay. I really should, though.
You should.
But I'm watching other things. Other terrible things.
Exactly. You have better things you can watch.
I'm watching
such
things.
As?
I'm watching other TV shows. I watched the third episode of Community, and you guys were right. It's really good.
Okay. Have you watched the fourth episode? Andrew, have you watched
now I'm going to stop
episode?
Now. Now that it's good, I can I'll have comfort that it's going to be better.
I hope so, but can I tell you this?
Fourth episode it went back.
It didn't go all the way back. But it wasn't good.
Oh, God damn it. I can just watch
but as
season
said,
2 and 3 again.
It shows potential. Just season 3, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
No. Season 3, the last season, there was no up and down.
Oh, there was up
no
and down.
Douglas Robinson. Up and down.
When they went up, when they got to their highs, they got high.
I only
but
remember the
some,
highs.
Exactly, I know. But there were some mediocre episodes.
I don't know
there,
what
there were.
About.
There were.
Yeah. So, Douglas, what have you seen?
Well, okay, what have I seen? Mm-hmm. First, let's get cracking with... I actually went out to the movies.
What the hell you see?
I haven't done that in a long time.
I don't know if you've seen the release calendar for this year. It's real bad.
Yeah.
What did she make you watch?
No, actually, it's what did I make her watch. I went out and watched a movie by the name of I'm
Side Effects,
Vacation.
Side Effects, Side Effects, Side Effects.
No, not Side Effects.
Damn it!
The movie was called I'm on Vacation. That's what the... Wait, no, sorry. Die Hard. That's the name of the movie.
All right. Yeah. Just tell me how bad it is.
It's a one, my friend. It's a negative one.
Yeah, right. If you could drag it down to zero. Douglas, the movie has made 50 million. I don't think I'm going to go out and watch
I'm on vacation.
Douglas.
I'm on vacation. How many Douglas. Times did he say that? How many times?
At least five. At least five.
Andrew, I was so upset because you could see that Die Hard 4, the last Die Hard, mm-hmm. which was, I thought, pretty good, right?
It was okay.
It was pretty good.
No.
When I say pretty good, all right, mm-hmm. let me at least give you my scale. Because right. clearly, you know, we're on two different scales. Because for you, pretty good is probably like with a vengeance, right?
No.
What's pretty good for you?
Pretty good. All right, fine. I'll give Die Hard 4.
Exactly. For me... Die Hard with a Vengeance is awesome, right? So my scale is clearly skewed a bit mm-hmm. more to the right. So for me and you were on the same
right.
page.
So it's one is the best. Three is like a half step behind one. And then
So
if it was
maybe.
If one is 10
honestly depending
with
on
Avengers
which one
is
I've
nine
seen,
and a half.
Depending on which one I've seen, last one and three are interchangeable.
Right, so 10, 9 and a half. And then Die Hard 4 would be like a
4 is like a step or a step and a half.
7.
Yeah.
Like a
yeah.
7,
yeah.
6 and a half. Something.
Right.
And 2 is, I've never seen
two,
a movie,
no.
so I don't know what you're talking about.
2 does not exist.
Nor does 5 or whatever.
So 20. I'll ask Douglas the same question that was asked of me. Which is worse, 2 or 5?
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you. Which is worse? I think 5 is worse, and let me tell you why. Not
because
not
they've had time.
No, not even that. Though it's a similar argument. Not simply because it's a bad movie. If you were to grade it just on badness, 2 would clearly win because 2 is pretty hard.
Oh God,
but
damn it!
Here is my biggest problem with Die Hard 5, and I started to say it before. Die Hard 4 was pretty good,
mm-hmm.
but we always wondered, right? How much better would it have been if they were allowed to say naughty words,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there was this huge story, and everybody believed them, right? That, you know, the director was making an R-rated movie, mm-hmm. then the studio came in and said, excuse me, sir.
We want money.
We want money.
Mm-hmm.
Make it into PG-13. He said no, and I said, all right, get off of my set. And they got some big editor to finish directing and to cut up all the naughty words. And you look at 4, and you say, that movie is so great. Or, well, great is not the best word, but it's so decent that imagine how great it would have been if there was no real censorship. Here now, you have the complete opposite. This was clearly a PG-13 movie where they said, hold on, this movie's kind of crappy already. Let's just let him say all the naughty words that he would like to say. So this movie was so full, chock full of
tap dancing villains.
I know the tap dancing part was alright, but
grasping at straws.
Yeah, well,
good.
It's Die Hard.
Yeah.
What can I do? I have to try and find something in there. But
no, you don't.
the way that, you know, even the people talk to each other and the expletives just fly. It just feels unnatural. You look at it and you say, you're forcing this, aren't you? And that really pushed me over the edge. I was just like, really? I can't deal with this anymore. So, yes, this movie gets a 1 from me. Now, on to bigger and better news. I watched a couple more movies and I watched a couple TV shows. Let us start with a TV show that I've actually already talked about that I'm sure Damien still has not seen yet, though I know he will eventually. Because our favorite friend, Chewy,
okay, is dancing on the edge.
Dancing on the edge. I finally
is it good now?
Watched the second episode, and I'm sad to say that it still does not speed up. However, I finally have gotten to a stage. The end of the second episode finally says, Douglas, it said to me, here is where the show is going to go. It took long enough, but finally I see the path. And while I am not convinced, I am hopeful. And Chewie is probably the only reason why I've made it this far. So, on to the new stuff. I saw Celeste and Jesse Forever, which, as both my co-hosts can attest to, is a pretty awesome movie. It's fantastic. Really good. It's really
good. Still haven't seen it.
What?
Oh, I thought you said you saw it.
Nope.
Well, you should. It's great. Frodo is great, and I know you said that he kind of stuck out after a while, but I completely disagree. I think he was perfect. I think he was definitely not overused. I think he was great as in the role, and the role, the amount of meat given to him, the amount of scenes he was in was great.
I could see where they wrote that character. That was my issue. Like, he felt like the anti-gay best friend. This is what it felt like. Like I said, we're tired of looking at this stereotype in these films. Let us write one that is not that stereotype. But he was good.
He tried, though.
Yeah,
he tried.
It was pretty good.
But yeah, this movie is great. Andrew, you need to watch it. All I have to say is Andy Samberg. Actually, I think that's all I have to say. I love that guy. Maybe you guys don't love him as much as I do.
No one loves him as much as you do.
For no reason, because
he's coming a lot of garbage.
Yeah, he has. But I think he's a genuinely funny man. I also watched an older movie by the name of Papillon. This movie stars Steve McQueen and Dustin Hoffman. As I previously told you guys, I have found myself to be a Steve McQueen fan. A huge one. So much so that recently I purchased Blu-rays again, just on his name alone. I've seen none of them. I've heard some things about them. I have to admit, I kind of cheated because they're supposedly great movies. It was Papillon, The Magnificent Seven, which I still haven't watched yet, and Le Mans, which I still haven't watched yet. But this one, Papillon, was really good. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
It shows that Steve McQueen is not just the action man that he was probably best known as, but he can actually, you know, he has some chops.
Right.
And
there's talent there.
Yeah, there's something there. And of course, well, I don't know if we all love him, but a lot of people love Dustin Hoffman. He's a pretty good actor.
Are there people who don't like Dustin
Hoffman? I don't think there are.
What gripe could you really have?
I know Andrew loves him because if Andrew can go out of his way to say that we have to watch something like, I think the name is Good Luck Charlie, then you know that he must love Dustin Hoffman. But yeah, this movie is about, it's really about two main characters, Dustin and Steve, who are French prisoners.
Stop it.
With American accents.
Yep.
All of these people in France apparently have American accents. But they're French prisoners, actually not in France. Apparently, French Guiana, as with Australia, used to be a prison colony. Apparently, this movie is also based on a true story. And it is about himself and Dustin Hoffman making the trip to French Guiana, finding out how horrid it is, and saying, okay guys, no more of this for us. So he escapes. He from day one, you can see that he has his mind made up, and no matter what other option you could give him, no, he doesn't want to be there. He's going to escape. And the movie is, it's truly a long escape movie. And many times he tries to escape, and in it he grows old. By the end of the movie, his hair is white. This is a bit premature because, well, they treat him harshly. But he does, you know, this movie does take place over a long period of time, and it just really, as I say, it shows that there's some acting skills there. The movie is you know, well written, well acted.
I remember when I watched a movie, I thought it was going to be more slapstick. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, because my queen was in it. But like after the first two attempts, I could see like where, I guess it was a modern day movie where they just montaged a lot of the other escape attempts, and it would be, you know, him failing to climb walls and something like this. But no, they took their time, mm-hmm. and they made this kind of somber movie. I mean,
it
makes sense because they were being treated, yes. as Douglas said, poorly. But
and they spend a lot of time developing the characters.
Right. What I enjoyed most about the movie, though, is you can see how much attention they paid on every aspect of it. Nothing felt. I mean, I've seen prison movies where, yeah, let's just call it a prison movie. I've seen prison movies where, you know, there's a cell and then there's a guy to the left and a guy to the right, and then you don't feel like there's anything else. It's just this wall, it's just these four walls and these guys. But this one, you see where, I don't know if they actually shot it on some sort of look. I don't know how they did it. But it kind of felt like, it felt lived in. You could see the degradation around.
You know what I really loved, especially? So, anytime you try to escape from this place, you don't pass go. You go directly into solitary confinement. First time is two years. Second time is 5 years. You don't want to be there for the third time. All right? So, he tries to escape once and immediately, as I say, goes to solitary. And what I really liked about that is, first, they spent a long time in there. It was probably a good half an hour of just him in solitary confinement. And I loved a lot of kind of the, I guess you could almost call it symmetry, or the foreboding, the foretelling of what would happen. You know, you see his essentially the first couple of weeks in there. Every once in a while, I suppose, they have to stick their head out of the cell so that they get a shave or a haircut or something along those lines. Maybe it's looking for lice, whatever it is. And there's a guy, as I said, beside him that is, you know, gray hair, looks ridiculously old. And he asks, oh, how are you looking? And he's like, you look good, whatever. And I, at least, at the time, thought, well, he's probably just an old guy that's in solitary confinement. And you realize that by the end of the 2 years, that's exactly what Steve McQueen looks like. He's losing teeth. He's had to eat bugs because they've got him on half rations for all sorts of reasons. And also, I remember when he started, you could see the cell. And on the cell, there were these stains. And I remember thinking, are those blood stains? What is that? And after a while, I realized what it was, because you have to exercise. As a human being, you have to do some sort of physical exertion. Mm-hmm. You can't just lie down for 2 years, because by the time you're ready to go, you won't be able to move. Right? So he keeps pacing back and forth in the cells. And after a while, you kind of realize what had happened. He wasn't the only one who realized he had to do this. But after a while, I guess, you know, especially in the darkness, you can't quite see everything very well. And so he will just pace and walk straight into the wall, and his face will get cut on the wall. And of course, this is a prison. This is solitary confinement. Nobody cares about these people. They don't wash the walls after.
Why would you?
Why would you? So that's what. And I just love the details like that. You know?
Right. That was what I was talking about. Yeah. You see, like, it is things that. I haven't been to prison, so of course I wouldn't. Like, it's things that other prison movies get wrong. Like, you know, they have you in the wall and they have people scratch numbers on the wall to mm-hmm. show the passage of time. Mm-hmm. But you don't see, like, the grit and because it's a prison and you're in there and nobody's spending any time cleaning these things. And by the end of the movie, I mean, even though the cells weren't clean when it started out, you could see you could see the passage of time both on him and on his surroundings. There you go. Yeah, people shouldn't go to prison. See, I understand why you're trying to escape, sir, because this is all of this is terrible. Yes. But yeah, this was this, most of these movies are on list. When you look up movies that you need to watch on the internet, they usually steer you towards these movies, and so that's why I saw that movie. It wasn't because I'm not the biggest. I mean, the only movie that I saw with him before starting doing this podcast with you guys was Lemma, and that's because Cars.
Yeah,
it's Cars. Thing, so of course, yeah. I wanted to watch that.
You've seen Bullet, though, right?
Douglas. Oh, that movie's so
Douglas Robinson. Oh, I remember the first time I watched it. Again, I bought it just because he was in it, because I'd seen Thomas Crown Affair and loved it. I had a friend at work that was a big fan of his, and so I kind of said, you know what, I'm going to at least take his advice, which is where I've heard of Papillon. I actually never heard of Papillon through any lists. Like, I had heard of, you know, The Great Escape,
right.
Bullet, I'd heard of The Magnificent Seven, you know, all these big movies. But the two movies that I'd never heard of, Le Mans and Papillon, the only reason I know of them are him.
Yeah.
And so I tip my hat to him and to you. this guy's awesome. But to continue, I also watched a TV show that Damien told me was not good, at least for the first few episodes. This TV show stars Kevin Bacon and is on FX and is called The Following. While I think I see what you mean by the first few episodes.
Well, I've only seen the first episode.
Oh, really?
That first episode is real bad.
You know,
it is real bad.
Let me tell you. That first episode,
mm-hmm.
I won't say it's a good episode,
okay.
Right? But you have to remember a few things. One, it is a first episode. You have to set up what this show is going to be about. So you always have to give a TV show at least two.
And that is why I plan to finish.
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon, I don't know if you've heard, but Kevin Bacon, Jorge, is in a TV show. Right, I'm going to watch it.
But if you get beyond the missteps of episode one, just look at what it sets up. You have a scenario where you have a deadbeat cop. Let's call him a cop. He's an agent, but whatever.
Yeah,
he is a law enforcement officer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a drunk. He's made questionable decisions in his life. And now he is the only one that can
stop this madman.
Whatever is.
And his compatriot.
Right? You have a highly intelligent criminal mastermind who is effectively a puppet master pulling strings from prison. What we have here is kind of a mixture between a pretty decent law enforcement procedural
mm-hmm.
and Silence of the Lambs.
It's Leonardo meets Dexter.
Right, there you go. Well, not quite Dexter. But
no, like the whole serial killer portion.
Yeah. Right. But when I finished the first episode, I was excited. I was a schoolgirl. Not because the first episode was good, mind you, but because of what it promised me.
Mm-hmm.
Subsequent episodes, I liked it. But I'm not sure. All right. Now, it's odd because I don't want to say that the episodes are great,
mm-hmm.
right? But for me, it's all about the story and the way that the strings come together,
mm-hmm.
rather than the execution of it. So I don't want to, you know, put my head down there and say this is the greatest show ever. But I enjoy it, as I said, mainly because of those aspects.
Part of my problem with the TV show too is this is an American TV show, so they're going to attempt to stretch this out.
That I have a
and
problem with
I don't
I really,
see how they're going
exactly,
to
exactly this for me is a one season
right.
television show.
If this was on BBC and they said, six episodes, I'd say, I'm giving the first episode a free pass and I'd be, you know, hungry to see what more they do. Yeah. But just knowing that they're going to stretch this out and that writers are, as we speak, furiously dreaming up nonsense in order to continue this.
I share your reservations. But so far, at least, this is a, as I said, one season TV show, and also we haven't gone past that season mark. So at least I can hope and I can watch what is happening and say to myself, I at least haven't seen anything that implies there is anything greater than a season.
There is a Mads Mikkelsen is in a TV series where he is upcoming one where they're essentially turning Silence of the Lambs into a TV show. And they pick the right person to be in it. There's a trailer out. The trailer doesn't really tell you anything. But you see him and you go, I'll watch something with him.
What's the name of this show and where is it? What's it showing on?
No idea what the name
is. It's called Hannibal.
Oh wait, so it actually is a Silence of the Lambs television show? I thought you were, you know, making some sort of parallel.
No. They straight up said, what if we take this and make it into TV?
So, where is this television show appearing, Andrew?
I could be wrong, but I think it's ABC.
Oh, why am I going to watch this game, man? This is television.
ABC television.
Exactly.
Everybody's gunning after HBO and AMC.
Yeah, but you can't say naughty words on ABC.
You can try.
USA gets away with shit because they're on cable and they have their shows at like 9 o'clock.
Look,
but what else? ABC can't say those bad things.
I'm pretty sure Disney owns ABC.
Yes, they do, exactly.
If anybody can change laws, Disney change copyright law. Pretty sure if they want some swear words on TV, they'll get a pass. Andrew, the great one, Robinson, what have you seen?
Oh, I was actually currently looking up the Hannibal show to see exactly which station it's on.
It's on Netflix.
For some reason, I find this important.
It's on Netflix or Hulu, the station.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly.
This week I haven't seen much. I'm not going to take very long. I watched two shitty movies. They're both called War Witch and The Brass Teapot. I apologize to you guys.
I remember telling you that The Brass Teapot was
apologize.
No, I remember that.
I remember saying that any movie with the name The War Witch
it was
must
awesome.
Be rubbish. I remember saying
that. I wanted to disagree with you. I wanted The War Witch to be awesome.
Weirdly enough, the same night that I watched War Witch and I decide I don't like it. Actually, like, weirdly enough, I went weirdly enough twice. It's a movie which I have to say it's very well shot. It's just I didn't appreciate the story very much.
Okay.
But the same night that I watch it and I start to be negative about it, I find out that it won the award for the best Canadian film of 2012. So, so that's kind of weird. And I kind of expected Sarah Polley to win that award. Sad.
For what? Take This Waltz?
No. I think Take This Waltz was the year before. She released a documentary last year, which everyone's been raving about, and I want to watch called Stories We Tell.
Oh, okay. Because Take This Waltz, while it was not horrible, was kind
of
horrible.
Yeah. I'm skipping over all of you guys.
I like how
you
didn't make his top 10. I like these movies that you guys love, absolutely love.
But,
Ruby Sparks.
Hold on, are we talking about Stories We Love, Stories We Tell, or
no? I'm talking about Take
This
Waltz.
We're passes.
And
we're
Ruby
passes,
Sparks.
David.
Assholes.
Damn it, so Wikipedia did not show me Ruby Sparks.
Yeah, man.
I did not see.
Right.
So,
if it's your favorite movie, I thought you'd think that you'd remember it without Wikipedia. You'd have penciled it in at number one, but apparently none of you guys did.
Apparently, no.
Yeah,
because
you're dicks.
So Andrew. Continue, please.
Side note, I'm just looking at the IMDb page, and Hannibal, it seems, is on NBC. I can see the logo at the bottom of the
really
poster.
No,
I know, but I felt like just saying it regardless. but anyways, the last movie I'll talk about, I was I was feeling left out over the weekend as I was seeing a lot of tweets and a lot of reviews go out for Park Chan-wook Stoker, as it's not out here yet. And I said, you know
or
what?
Or will it ever come out here?
Wait, no, at least to their benefit, they have a poster.
Really?
They do, yes.
Oh, that's good, so. It will be there for 2 days.
Yep, and we shall be yes. there both
Oh,
days.
God.
Sorry, Andrew. Please continue.
Fuck, what was I saying?
You were talking about Stoker.
Yes, yes. Park Chan-wook wanted to see Stoker.
Yes, you're feeling left out because envious. Of all the tweets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, so I said to myself, wait, there's still Park Chan-wook movies I haven't seen yet. And sadly, one of them is part of the Vengeance trilogy. I still hadn't seen Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance.
I'm sorry, so what? I don't understand that. How is that? We have talked about the Vengeance trilogy as a group. How have you missed one of the movies in said trilogy?
I don't think we've talked about the trilogy definitively.
I'm pretty sure we have. I'm pretty sure we have.
you see how it worked was I'd seen Old Boy and I'd seen Lady Vengeance and I just went off of that to say, assuming.
Did I watch Mr. Vengeance?
I'm sorry. Oh, so this podcast is now over because none of you two. So let me get this straight. You guys, we saw Old Boy.
Yes.
Way before this podcast. Then we watch Lady Vengeance and love that. And there's one to complete the trilogy, and you two assholes said, you know what?
I watched Thirst. Does that count?
Why don't I have a knife with me? Have this fool in the face.
Because then you'd be a part of the Vengeance trilogy.
Alright, I'm going to entertain, suffer you two fools. What did you think of, now that you've completed the trilogy, jerks. What do you think of Mr. Vengeance?
It was kind of weird because I actually didn't like it that much for the first like 20-25 minutes. Because of course it's setting up this whole Vengeance. But once that happens, once the moment of shit's going to start,
Once
the Vengeance begins, the movie's fucking awesome, right? It becomes the best version of the Korean revenge film that we love to see. Because not only is it just ridiculous shit that you go, why am I enjoying watching this? Because as you watch a man just totally decimate these individuals, you kind of question your morality in that moment as you're smiling to see this guy get his revenge. And it's not taken revenge where it's kind of glossed over. The violence is glossed over and we kind of don't have enough time to process it. In these Korean movies that we watch and we enjoy, I've noticed a trend, especially with Park Chan-wook, where whenever we get to supremely violent scenes, you have this ridiculously steady camera and it's usually far away. It's usually far away so we can take in everything that's going on. And you're just there, and it becomes this moment where you're wondering if what he's doing is he's making the viewer complicit in what's going on in this scene, and like that just kind of disturbed me even more in this movie than the others, because I don't even think I felt this badly with Old Boy, which was even more fucked up. Can Park Chan-wook stop making me have to sit through sexually crazed scenes or moments in movies? I'm really worried for Stoker in what he's going to present me sexually, because
he just keeps going.
You feel that he's going to have a borderline, like he'll be like, there, I've done it, and he'll put it in a corner and never talk about it again, but he just keeps going at it.
Look, you have to take the good with the very good. Right?
Remind me. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen this in a long while. Was there a reason for Old Boy?
Yes, there was.
Yes.
What was the reason?
There were two reasons for Old Boy.
There's a lot. A lot of...
The initial plot of Old Boy was he gets captured, yes, and he gets held for 10 years, and he goes, who the fuck did that? And he's just running down this person.
No, no, no. When I say a reason, you know, was there a reason for his capture and subsequent...
Yes.
What was the reason again?
I don't want to say it.
What? I mean, you can edit this out, right?
We can just... There, I remember there being a bleep in previous podcasts.
But that takes work and effort.
He may have done something to the guy.
I really can't remember.
And the guy took it real far. Like, further than anybody. The ends didn't justify the means. It was something that he did horrible and then the guy took it. Like, it was essentially someone used to laugh at him. And then he took it real far. Like, really, really far.
But to make sure that it doesn't sound that simplistic, what it was...
I don't think anyone has taken anything that far. He took it really far.
That was like, wow.
Yeah. Like when they set up what happened, guys, it would have been easier if you said that he hit down the guy's daughter by accident. Right? Something, you know, relatable that I could go. Well, I can see how he ended up in this position, but you guys... Mm-mm. And then the whole thing with... At the end, huh?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yep.
Holy shit. Yep.
Andrew, I will be listening to this podcast, and I expect not for this whole section to be deleted.
Yeah.
I would like to just
hear... A series of bleeps.
It's Morse code. When you're done, you're just like, save them. They're down in the well.
Even if it is one bleep continuous for about 5 minutes, yeah. I'm okay with that.
Alright, so what happened with... podcast.
Holy shit.
Were
they hit by rockets? I can't believe you haven't seen Mr. Avengers. I'm so angry with the both of you.
I also rewatched The Master, and when I was done watching that, I still don't think I've gotten it. I need to watch this again.
I don't think there was anything to get.
Yeah, it's just two crazy ass people being crazy and realizing each other.
And realizing that one was slightly more crazy than the other one, and not the one that is making up religion.
Yes. Oh,
the dude making up the religions is the sane one in this. Oh God, Joaquin! I don't know.
I actually don't agree with that.
I'm sorry. What? No, the end of the movie was exactly what we said. That is what happened at the end of that movie.
Okay, one. Had, you know, an office, a wife,
a school,
a whole center dedicated to them, and one...
roam the earth banging anything in sight.
Yes. I wonder which one.
And made alcohol.
Oh, yes.
From absolutely everything.
And I love...
Including gasoline.
I love... that when queried on whether he poisoned someone, his response was, no, I didn't poison them. If they died because of it, they just drank it wrong.
Yeah.
Or something to that effect.
Now, so we all drank it. He's the only one that died. Ran off into a cabbage patch. If we're going to talk about movies that we rewatch, I keep watching Lupo.
Yeah.
Over and over.
That's a good one.
Because it never gets... Like, I keep waiting for, like, the sheen to rub off so that I can find something to put above it. And I just keep going, nope, 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 nope. Now that I've... I mean, I think the only movie... that I still really want to see that I haven't watched is the Amour movie.
Yes, I want to watch that one.
And looking at the movies now, now that I've seen most of the movies from last year, my top 10 list is garbage. It's real bad. Of course, there's key movies in there that would stay, but about 7 of those movies to
come. But no matter how good or bad it is, mm-hmm. you know that Holy Motors would have to.
No, of course. Douglas. Holy Motors is rooted onto that list. The movie is special.
Was it a huntsman or a player that made you pay the cost, that now assumes relaxed positions and prostitutes your loss? Were you tortured by your own thirst in those pleasures that you seek, that made you Tom the Curious, that makes you James the Weak?
First trailer I want to talk about.
Say it.
I will not.
Anyway.
What Maze Knows. Starring Skarsgård something.
Stellan.
No, it's not Skellan. Skellan is daddy. This is Alex.
It's Alexander.
No, sorry, Peter. Sorry, this is Peter Skarsgård, I believe.
What?
No. I think we're mixing up the stars.
this is guy from True Blood.
Yes.
More importantly, it's guy from Melancholy.
Oh. Let me get the name because now it's Alexander Skarsgård.
Sorry, yeah, I was right
the
first time.
Yeah.
Steve Coogan and Julianne Moore. About a series of relationships centered around a divorce and a child who is found in the middle.
That Maisie's mother was supposed to be doing pickup today.
She sent me to get her daughter.
Who are you?
Sort of like Maisie's stepfather.
The scar is a fleck on my porcelain skin.
Did you really get married?
You don't have to call him daddy or anything.
Maisie has something she'd like to share with the class.
This is my new stepfather.
Hi.
My father married my nanny, so Court made my mommy get married, too.
You know, you don't get a bonus for making her fall in love with you.
Are you and Daddy still married?
I may have to go back to England.
Douglas, we know you like movies about sappy relationships, so what did you think?
I really like this trailer. This trailer started off a bit rocky, and I'll tell you why. Any trailer that has to say, not from the director...
Yeah, but from the producers.
Not from the actors, but from the producers who made The Kids Are Alright. I don't know. No, I love The Kids Are Alright.
From the guys that put together the money for this other movie, comes this other movie.
Exactly, right? Now, what... At first, let my guard down a little bit, was that not only was it from the producers, but it was from the lady, Julianne Moore, who starred in The Kids Are Alright. So I said, okay, we've got one person I like here. Now we've got Steve Coogan. I love Steve Coogan to death, but his choice in movies are...
Questionable
mm-hmm. at best. We also have Skarsgård, who also has not really done well for himself, as far as I'm concerned.
He's in Melancholia, and everyone in that movie got a free pass.
Alright, fair enough. I see the bias has reared its ugly head.
Look, I'll watch Upside Down with Kirsten Dunst. Like, shows in Melancholia. I'll watch this.
Okay. But this trailer, as you say, Andrew, kind of... It pulls the right strings for me. It appeals to the correct. It kind of has the right story to tell. It's, you know, clearly indie movie about divorce, remarriage, potentially another divorce and another remarriage. It's about relationships that are a little bit complicated. It you know, it's about people that haven't quite figured out their lives. And while I would be the first one to hate any movie with a whole heap of what I call heart, this one has the right kind of heart. At least the trailer does. And for that, I am infinitely grateful. And for that, I want to watch this movie. Damien?
No, let the dead air... I like dead air. It's fun. Watch Andrew edit it out. So here's what I want to happen in this movie.
Can you see when I edit?
Are there cameras? I can hear when you edit. I was, you know, I'm here listening to the podcast. And when I listen to it later, it doesn't mean that I wasn't here the first time. I was here. Here's what I want to happen. Steve Coogan won the daughter and is now married to Nanny. Julianne Moore found other man. Other man will meet Nanny.
They will get
and
on.
Get together. And yes. I want the judge to give them custody of the child. Yes. I know there's no way that's going to work. That's what I want to happen. Let's go. Straight up, it's okay.
Damien finding the worst possible story to ever put out. Why? Because it sounds fucked up.
That sounds real good.
Listen,
I'd pay to see that movie.
Exactly. I saw this trailer.
With the exception of them getting the child.
Yeah. But that would be a good
twist. Yeah, exactly. The judge is like, you guys are the worst. I'm giving the child to the people who actually take care of it. I mean her. Sorry, not it. Sorry, poor judge. Don't refer to children.
The music just makes me want to hate this trailer. It just starts going like halfway through with that music. Like, it's going to be a happy ending, guys, but there's going to be some turns on the way. Like, I really just want to punch this trailer in the face.
I don't think he saw the same trailer.
I don't think he did either.
I want better movies with Steve Coogan. There's one by Michael Winterbottom I want to watch this year. Why is
Which
it not
is
this?
That?
The one Damien wants to see, the porn one.
Yes.
Alright.
And a film with me in it. You can watch that again.
No, that movie wasn't that good. No, it wasn't.
And Douglas, I'm aware of this.
Oh my goodness.
We reviewed that movie.
Oh my goodness. But Dylan Moran is in it and I love him to death. To death.
Another person is in it that you love to death.
Oh, fuck you.
Rhys Meyers.
Fuck you.
Your boy, Elvis Presley. Oh, God.
I do hate that man.
Yes,
so
you
much.
Do.
So much.
You're not even joking.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not. All right. The next trailer is my pick for summer kids movie, at least one of them. Cloudy. Although it's September. Cloudy with Chance of Meatballs Part 2.
We had the leaf swallow fall so things could get cleaned up. But when we returned, something big was left over.
I can't believe my machine created all of this.
Are those chimpanzees?
Butter.
Look, mosquitoes. Perfect.
Those are some tasty looking jellyfish.
Hungry.
It's enough to make a grown man cry. But not this man. Get back in there, Tia.
This September.
So I put out a trailer for a children's movie. I remember when we saw I remember my feelings on the first one. When I saw the trailer, I went, this is going to be garbage. And then I watched the movie and it was surprisingly good. And watching this trailer, I have the same feelings that I felt the first time I saw that first trailer. Like, this is going to be terrible, isn't it? There's so much corny shit. And some of the jokes are so, so dumb. I understand that they're pandering to kids. But some of the jokes in this trailer are real dumb. But then I remember my feelings on the first one, and I go, well, the first one was pretty good. Maybe they can do it again. And I think they have the same, like, all the same people that wrote and directed the first one. And now they have infinite money because Sony couldn't believe how much money the first one made.
And how much 21 Jump Street made.
What's that?
And how much 21 Jump Street made.
And Skyfall. Skyfall made $1 billion.
Yeah, but that's not Sony. Wasn't
Sony.
Sony back then?
Sony Pictures. What is this?
It was still MGM.
Right.
No, MGM isn't Sony.
No. Sony. I am 9,000% sure. I am 1,000,000,000% sure. So yeah. This trailer isn't good.
Looks corny. I recall watching the first installment of this movie with my younger brother Andrew Robinson, who forced me to go to this movie. I, as did you, thought this was going to be horrible. However, this movie, the first movie, was pretty fantastic. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Correct me if I'm wrong, did you not like this movie the first time around, Andrew?
I don't think I've seen it after the first time around.
No, when I said that, I mean, did you not like it when you watched it?
No, I did not.
Yes, I remember that. He didn't like it for some reason. I don't know why. He's a crazy person. I loved the first movie. This trailer, however,
is giving me that same feeling.
There was one good joke in there. One. Mr. T was Mr. T's tear popping right back in the eye. That was hilarious. That was about it, though.
Yeah.
So... I can only hope to be surprised yet again. Andrew Robinson, what is your take?
I want to root for this movie, guys. I want the guys who made 21 Jump Street to keep being funny. But it's for children. And it looks aggressively for children. I don't believe it, guys. I didn't like the first one. I don't think they have enough Mr. T to make me like this one. It's rough.
I don't know how you didn't like that first one, though.
Didn't Neil Patrick Harris, wasn't he in the first one? He was a monkey, right?
Yeah. I haven't seen that movie in a while.
That's possible.
I think so.
The one that I keep wanting to be released is How to Train Your Dragon 2, which I'm calling dibs for next year's fantasy.
Can't do that. There's no dibs in fantasy.
I have him on the transfer list. Right to first refusal.
Wow.
Damian White. This trailer is awful. It's poor.
However, it seems that it is Tom approved because 2 out of 3 are looking forward to this film.
Cautiously optimistic.
Cause I lost my job 2 weeks before Christmas. And I talked to Jesus at the sewer, and the Pope said it was none of his goddamn business. While the rain drank champagne, my Estonian archangel came and got me wasted.
Hej, Anton. Direktøren for det hele.
Jeg er skuespiller. Du skal jo forestille det her firmas direktør, ikke? Den rigtige direktør, han er ikke tilgængelig. Jeg skal holde det hemmeligt, så skal det.
Hej. Så mødes vi endelig. Det er mig, der er direktør.
Fortæl mig noget om, hvad det er IT.
Det er jo fuldstændig uigennemskueligt.
Så er det jo godt, det er sådan en god skuespiller.
Now, I would like to talk about something.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I did this week.
Yes.
I made a huge mistake. I said to myself, what can I do to A, piss off Andrew, and B, make me and Damian feel really good? And I thought, I know, something to do with somebody Andrew hates.
Yes.
Lars von Trier. Not only will I pick a Lars von Trier movie, I will pick something that he never ever does. I only know of two of these things that he's done. I'm going to pick a comedy directed by Lars von Trier. This comedy is by the name, or goes
Hold on,
by
one
name.
Second.
Yes, sir.
One second. I think you've got this all twisted, right? Just because I don't like the way Lars von Trier makes me feel when I watch his movies, doesn't mean I don't like his movies.
No. No, I'm pretty sure you've been negative about every single one of these movies. Antichrist, you were clearly not on board for.
Yes. In no way, shape, or form.
You, at no point did you even admit that Lars von Trier had a drop of talent. It was just you.
Because I was too busy looking at penises being crushed.
I think, Andrew, what I'd like you to do now, and I'll give you some dead air time. Hold on. Now, in that dead air time, I would like you to go back in the catalog and insert clips of your apparently rave reviews of Lars von Trier movies.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
First of all, I don't know what Douglas is talking about. I didn't say that I hated this movie. I said that I hated watching this movie. It was a tough watch for me.
He said, and I quote, "I will never watch this movie, and I will never watch a movie ever made by Lars von Trier again."
Because I don't want to.
Okay.
The movie looks fantastic and everything is brilliant, but for me, like, just sitting on and watching this movie, like, I had the pretext of this movie's insane shit's gonna happen, and I'm watching the movie, I'm like, yeah, this isn't that bad, it's kind of reasonable going through, and then chapter 3 hits me. And that chapter, everything that happened in chapter 3 was just so cock-punching gruesome for me to watch that I never want to watch that movie again, and I never want to look at what Lars von Trier is thinking ever again.
I don't want to know. Were you wearing your skirt at that
point? I'm still wearing it if you're
Alright, and I just want to mention this mainly to appease Damien and tell him finally, I can let him know, Damien, you were right, I was wrong. I decided this last week, since it came on Netflix, I was like, sure, why not? I decided to revisit Melancholia. And that movie is brilliant. And I think that movie worked so much better the second time around because I knew how it was going to play out, and I paid a lot more attention as to what they put in with the character Kirsten Dunst played. And I actually read it a lot more in the vein that you decided to read Take Shelter. And I accepted this character's playing of that mainly because there was no point where it seemed that she truly doubted herself. And I like the movie for that. It's a really good movie.
I would love to hear those. All those
challenge accepted.
Challenge field.
No, while Andrew is lying,
yes,
and
through
saying
his teeth
that he loves Lars von Trier, we know the truth,
right?
And as such, I acted accordingly. This plan, however, backfired.
Oh,
did it?
Why would you want to piss me off, anyways? What have I done?
Because it's fun.
It is. It kind of is. Unreal.
You're not here to hit any of us. And by the time you come here, you won't remember. Like, you have so many things to be angry at us for. You won't remember any specifics.
I can win this game easily, you know, guys.
No, you can attempt to win, but
Damien won't watch those movies.
Exactly. And the last time we took stock of worst movies we've seen,
Douglas,
I'm pretty sure Douglas is still reigning champion.
He has two in the bag.
Two or three?
At least two. Yeah. I can't at remember least, a third at this point.
Oh yes. Mm. And I've got some more in me. I can feel it. And it's coming
this,
up.
If this one went on for another half an hour, it might have ended up in this category.
So this movie is called The Boss of It All. Mm-hmm. It is actually, to be honest, if you never watched the movie and only heard the premise, you might actually have hope for this movie. This movie is... The premise of this film is extremely absurd and does lend itself to some level of comedic tomfoolery. Right? So, what this movie is about. This man started a company, and since he started it, I guess he has some great business acumen because it's doing well. It sells some sort of computer widget or something. I never actually...
It sells something.
Yeah, it sells something. Right. But it's done very well for him. And he's about to close a deal to sell his company for, of course, a huge profit. So that he can now, you know, relax like the people that created YouTube. So, there's one hitch. One minor wrinkle. And that is that... Nobody actually knows he owns the company. Nobody knows that he is the head of the company. Right.
And he's been telling people that there is a boss somewhere yeah. over there.
Why has he done this? Because while he would like to make money and made all the steps to do so, he is clearly, he has some personal, some social issues or something. And he doesn't, in his words, see himself as a leader or a president of a company. So what he does, which is extremely interesting, is he behaves as if he's just middle management and has created, as Damian says, what do they call him? An Uber boss or
the boss of it all.
The boss of it all, right? The super boss. And this is actually what they call him in the office. And he's created a fictional email address from which he sends each of his co-workers emails from the super boss. Whether it is to quash their dreams of a company retreat or to tell them that they haven't done well enough so there's no bonus this year, or that, you know, he'd really like to fuck you because you're a nice looking lady, or whatever it is, right? There are some crazy emailing going on over here. And apparently, he is not seen as high up enough by the competitor that is going to purchase them to close the deal or be a part of the negotiations. So he has to hire an actor, a very hapless and not extremely smart actor, to play this president. And insanity or hilarity is supposed to ensue, but unfortunately it does not, because this is Lars von Trier. And Lars von Trier, while he is a sick individual who has given us some beautiful yet horrid films.
That is his forte.
His sense of humor.
I'm sorry, his what now?
it doesn't quite have much of a sense to it.
No, it doesn't. He has a sense. There's just no humor there. There's no humor.
It's something's not quite right.
He has a sense of something.
A sense of horror.
Let's just cut to the chase. Andrew Robinson, what did you think about this movie?
Bearing in mind
that if you answer this question incorrectly, it will be my last appearance on the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
I will not give you an answer
the question. What did you think about the movie?
I'm actually very divided on what I think of this movie.
Oh, Christ almighty.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. Andrew, that was not the correct answer, but please continue. I would really like to understand this film from the point of view
of
a true Lars von Trier fan.
Yes,
a true Lars von Trier fan.
I think it's kind of all well based in the introduction that von Trier gives this movie in a very Herzogian style, where he basically just announces to everyone, this is a movie that I'm putting on for you guys, and it's because I almost want to precurse it with an idea that maybe it doesn't exist, but that von Trier challenged himself, saying, look, I know I'm a depressing fuck, I'm European, I don't know what happiness is, but I'm going to try and make people laugh, so this is my challenge to myself, and he decided to make this as his comedy. Right, and as he talks about in the introduction, where he's trying to laugh at the artsy fartsy, at the highfalutin people, we then get to see this character of what's his name, Sven, or that's the guy he's playing Sven. His name is Christopher, who is an actor who's been hired to be the boss of it all. And as we see in that first scene where he is trying to input pauses into a script of dialogue which has nothing more than the base of a plot point to plot point idea, you kind of have to just buy into this ludicrous nature that Lars von Trier gives us as he compounds on this throughout the movie, in the fact that he's just making fun of arty acting and overthinking actors, and movies that I love, like Terrence Malick movies, where you kind of just feel like you're falling in love with the beauty of it, as opposed to any form of narrative goodness. On the other side, the question of, did it make me laugh to the point of dying? No. It was very few and far between at the points where I actually found myself breaking out into laughter.
Wait, sorry, but there were points?
What? Andrew, did you see the same movie?
Was it about an actor who put soot on his head because he was following Gambini?
Andrew, continue, please. We want to hear you.
Yeah.
Talk about this.
I want to... Yeah, please elaborate on the points where you were laughing as well, because... I need to know.
Okay, so a movie that we have discussed at length on this podcast, lovingly, The FP, is a movie which is so self-aware in its badness that we enjoy it for that, right? This is a movie that I feel is so self-aware in how it's trying to push that acting idea that I enjoyed its ridiculousness. There is a point in... I love the point in the movie where they start to bring up all of the emails. Like, you guys kind of half-heartedly mentioned it. Oh, you look good, so I'm going to bang you. You start to think about the fact that how are any of these people in this office figuring out that they're being perceived by an individual that's never seen them, never met them, never talked to them, and doesn't even know how to open his email, right? It's an insane movie, and I hope you guys liked it. Did you like it, Damien?
Alright, since this will be my final appearance on... this is my farewell show. When I came over, I said to Douglas... Douglas was watching the movie, and we had a good laugh about how terrible the movie was. And I said to Douglas... I said, Douglas, I'm afraid that when we talk to Andrew, Andrew is going to like this movie. I remember saying that, Douglas.
Yes, you did say that, Damien.
And I made a promise that if that was the case, I would not do this podcast again. So I'd just like to let everybody know. Now, Andrew has hated the good von Trier movies, right? Hated them. I don't know what he's talking of. Oh, no, I never said that his movies are terrible. Yes, you have. Repeatedly said that they are terrible. Antichrist, no. Melancholia, no. Dogville, still no.
I still haven't watched that.
Whatever.
We can put words.
Yeah, I'll just go out and say you won't like that one. Since Andrew Robinson, this movie is in every way, in every no matter what stick you use, except for yours, this movie is terrible. This is not even approaching a decent movie. This movie is poorly acted. The dialogue is terrible. The concept is bad. And most egregious is at the start of the movie, the word comedy was said. And there is no laughs. I don't know where you laughed. I stared at this movie for 90 minutes, wondering if Douglas was testing me. Was it that Douglas said, I wonder if I can find a Venture movie that would diminish Venture in Damien's eyes? And you haven't, because I'm going to ignore this movie. But I don't even remember that he made this. Right? When I think of him, I'll think of the great movies. Dancer in the Dark was the other movie that I don't think you were on board with. I'll think of Dancer, Dogville, Antichrist, and Melancholia. And I will ignore this movie because this movie is awful.
No, Damien, you know what makes this movie even more terrible? And I didn't realize it until I introed it. Because when you watch something, right, you're just in essentially the land of the movie, and you either like it or you don't. But as I described the story, I started to kind of chuckle in the back of my head.
Like, yeah, this could be funny.
This could work. This could really work. But somehow, Trio fucked.
Because it does not know what funny is, Douglas. That is not his job. I don't come to Ventura for funny. Why would you do that? Why on earth would you do that? I just don't understand where he thought. Right? It was probably as Andrew said. Someone said, you are the most depressing little man I've ever seen in my life. And he went, I would prove you wrong. I would prove you all wrong. And then he made this. And he even at the end of the movie went, if you like this movie, then good, you got the movie. But if you didn't like it, then you were expecting too much or some such as this. Some garbage outro to... You know, bookend the fact that his movie was garbage. I still love this man. And 100% of his work. Right?
This was not work. This was a hobby.
This is garbage. And it belongs in the same place where I throw all my other garbage. I said, here's what you can do if you have 90 minutes to spare and you've seen everything else. And the only thing left is this movie. You can watch paint dry. You can play in traffic. Throw yourself off a cliff. Like, literally anything else would be better. Watch Biodome again. There's so much. Andrew compared this piece of trash to the FP. Now, if he was here, I'd have stabbed him a long time ago and thrown his dead body out of my podcast. But he's not here. And sadly, Google hasn't worked out the technology to send punches through the internet. They will. I'm sure they will.
Wait,
but until that day.
Let's see. Google Effects.
Yes. Google Effects. Can you punch Andrew in the face?
It is loading. Oh, wait. Here.
No, that's applause.
That's applause? Oh, no. But if I put the hand on his face.
Right. And just move it back and forth a lot.
Maybe. Slap.
Damn you, Google. This movie. Like, I knew, you know, I just knew that Andrew was going to like this movie, you know. Right? What is wrong with him, Douglas? I have to blame you. Right? You're the one that raised him to be this person.
Listen, do I look like I like this movie?
No, Douglas.
Do I look like anybody I believe to be related to me would like this movie? No. Andrew, I have just disowned you. You are disowned.
Like, I don't even want to call
Am I the weakest link?
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Just don't understand. Oh my goodness.
God, this movie is...
Actually, it's funny. So, speaking of the weakest link, every time I drive now past Barbican, there is a billboard up advertising BNS, the Bank of Nova Scotia. Mm-hmm. So, when you think of a bank and what portray, right? You want to portray, like, strength. You know, you want to portray that, you know, nothing can get you down. You will always have my money and my best interests at heart. However, in this advertisement or advertisement, there is a chain. Mm-hmm. And in that chain, there is a red link that is supposed to represent BNS. Right. This red link is, however, broken.
And it is in the process of being broken.
And it is supposed to represent something like, you know, unchaining yourself from whatever the old ways were.
That's not how I see it.
Exactly. When I look at it, I think those exact words that I just said, you are the weakest link.
Scotia is the reason why I won't have strength and security in the future. Because their chain is broken.
So, I don't know why I went off point, but...
Because talking about this movie is a waste of time. In fact, I would ask Andrew to delete this review of the podcast so that when you search Google and type in, you know, our name, we don't... I don't want any links to this movie and my name. It is so bad. And Andrew Robinson has disappeared. Andrew, what are you doing?
I'm here.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Andrew Robinson, how is it that of all the Frontier movies, this is the one, this is the first one that you like? How is that possible?
Challenge accepted.
Are you exactly, that is, I feel you're doing it on purpose.
He saw it, was like, this movie is horrible. How dare Douglas do this to me? And then was like, you know how I can get back at him?
Right. No matter what they say, I will disagree with them. I'm sure if it came on, I went, this is the greatest movie ever. Vulture did it again, you'd have gone, this movie's garbage. We'd have shaken our heads. I really do think Andrew's fucking with us.
My goodness.
That's the only explanation.
Well, folks, you've heard it here first. Mm-hmm. Damien White hates a Lars von Trier film. Despises
his
it.
His cousin, it's not him.
His cousin actually cousin. Did a better movie.
No, but he has a cousin that is using his name to moonlight as a comedy director.
But I just want to say, this is officially Tomp disapproved. Oh. This is a... what we call a travesty against cinema. Yep. This is officially a TAC, transgression against cinema. The outro. Thank you all for listening to us tonight, today, this morning, or this afternoon, depending on when you are listening to us. My name is Douglas. You can probably not find my writings at gmanreviews.com, but you can find Andrew's writings at gmanreviews.com. Also, you can find him on various podcasts because he messes around, he cheats on us.
He's a puzzle.
He is. The latest podcast he was on was The Dark of the Matinee, the Matinee cast on that website. But of course, you can also hear him here on the Unnamed Movie Podcast. Occasionally. And with me, also. You can speak to Damien at Damien_White with a Y. That is his Twitter handle. That is DJ. I lost his name. Andrew's is G Man Reviews.
Silver magic ships you carry. Jumpers, Coke, sweet Mary Jane. Sugar Man, you're the answer. That makes my questions disappear. Sugar Man, 'cause I'm weary of those double games I hear. Sugar Man, Sugar Man, Sugar Man, Sugar Man, Sugar Man.
man.